Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brian Flores, Matt Patricia, Eric Mangini, Romeo Crennel. Who needs a defensive coordinator? Honestly, it looks like Jerod Mayo is transferring the plays, but who the hell knows who's calling the defense? I don't think it matters. Bill's going to be involved. He said he's going to be involved. But look at this. I mean, forget it. This wasn't a bunch of exotic blitzes. And yeah, the Detroit Lions have some issues. Let's talk. Let's make sure we mention that. But they got after him. Everybody wanted to eat. Everybody wanted to get home. There was a lot of push. There was a lot of excitement. Everybody got involved. You've got to be happy when you see all those bodies around the quarterback and him just having no idea what's going on.
We thought this, though, 3 weeks ago when we talked about it. This is the least thing you worry about at all. The coaching of Bill Belichick, who may be one of the greatest defensive coordinators of all time. This has always been his defense, whether it's Brian Flores, whether it's Matt Patricia, Romeo, whatever. It's still Bill's defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
That Bill becomes more active with the defense.
I got a question.
What's the big deal?
So Charlie Weiss was on, I don't know, Opening Drive, whatever the hell those shows are that he's on. Opening Morning Show,
you
whatever.
You never remember the name of the show.
Nah, so what? It was Charlie Weiss. You know, right. Obviously, you know Charlie,
know
right?
Charlie. And,
Double 87.
Good job, Charlie.
You know, he was talking about how difficult it is to be an offensive defensive coordinator and how crazy the notion would be that a first-time coach – ever. Jerod Mayo's never coached,
right,
ever, is going to go to the pro level and call defensive schemes, mm-hmm, and plays. I agree with him.
Right.
It's absurd to think that it's even possible. So when I was watching it last night, I was like, all right, so Mayo, middle linebacker, always had the green dot, you know, always calling the defense, right, always making sure that everybody knew where they were supposed to go. He's got that on lock. So what is Bill doing? Just, hey, call Red Dog 86.
Right.
I mean, and then make sure, you know, you're singling the playing correctly. But do you think he has the ability? If they said, listen, I'm not giving, hey, you set up the defense, mm-hmm, you get through personnel. You think Jerod Mayo can legitimately go out there and run a defense on his own?
Well, I think it would be difficult in the sense that it's about understanding the flow of the game, right? Because that's what offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators do. They're so good at, okay, preparing for, all right, it's, you know, first and 10. If they pick up 5 yards, I want to be ready for this defense, okay? And then if they're able to get 5 yards on that, I need to be ready for this defense. So it's the flow of the game and having, and I think that comes with you being out there and calling plays and doing that before and being able to see the game. Because when you're the middle linebacker and you're just basically calling the play that they give you, you're not knowing, okay, it's down and distance. All right, here's what we need to do here. Here's what I got to look for this there. That's what I think the offensive defense.
But you do need to anticipate and recognize what the situation
is. The situation on, right, that play, though, not two or three plays down.
So you
the
know
road.
What they'll do? They'll wean him into it. My guess is game four of the preseason, because I think he was talking on a headset last night, Mayo was, but Belichick was talking an awful lot, and he was with the defensive guys when offense was out in the field talking on the sideline. My guess is game four, the preseason, mm-hmm, game four, Mayo will get the opportunity to do the whole game. Usually they do in the fourth game. That's what they do. They'll get.
We saw Chad O'Shea do it last year.
Exactly. But once you get to the regular season here, game one, it's going to be Bill Belichick, and Mayo will be part of the chain, the communication chain, and he will wean him into it slowly.
See, I feel
don't
like
you think?
It was funny. I saw what is Bill's son's name? Oh, I can't remember.
Steve.
His name. Steven. You know, right on the sideline, right next to, mm-hmm, him.
He was next to him,
and
the whole
I'm like,
time.
okay, so you haven't heard anything about Steven?
No.
With the red dot, the green, or whatever, calling plays in, and he's sitting there, kind of hovering right by Jerod Mayo. I'm like, okay, so against the Tennessee Titans, does Steven Belichick call the plays?
Well, he. I know Bill, as we've seen this in the past, he's given a couple guys the opportunity. I think last year was Brendan Daly got some opportunity to call the defense. See, the thing is what people don't realize, and you know, is that here it is. Bill, they're yelling in his ear, the defensive coordinator. All right, it's it's first and 10. They're coming out with 12 personnel. Be alert. They just ran this for the last play. The ball's on the left hash. And now the defensive coordinator is thinking about that and now says, okay, let's run this defense based on that information getting.
I forgot all about that. We're talking about late personnel switches, adjustments, shifts. What are you checking to?
Right.
You have a call set up. You got to change it based on the fact they went half. And
Bill's
had regular.
Bill's doing it all year long.
And that's why. Why is anybody worried?
Well, he was asked today. Tom Curran asked him today on this conference call because I think that's the question. You saw both Mayo on the headset. You saw Bill. You saw Steve on there.
Can I just follow on a coach question? And I know it's again preseason, but is Gerard Mayo calling the plays defensively? Is it a collaboration? How does it work at this juncture, if it's something you could reveal?
Yeah, we'll always do what we feel is best for the football team, Tom. That's what we always do, so I don't see that really changing.
Yeah, well, is he calling the defensive plays and stuff? I never doubted that.
We'll
so you would always do that?
We're doing what's best for the football team.
We're doing what's best for the football team.
That's what we have. Hey, let's ask that same question on Monday.
I love it, though.
Thanks, bro.
Here's the line you don't use. If you can reveal.
Right.
Because Bill does not want to reveal anything. Nothing.
Well, it's a collaborative.
But Bill's still controlling.
Because you got to think about, hey, Bill, just so you know, they ran in number 87 Jenkins in on this play. Uh-oh. Now when he's in the game, we got to be alert for this. So I think it's a collaborative effect. And with Gerard, this is his first time coaching, and like you said, at any level, and now there's so much going on, and I think...
Here's what I'm thinking. Wait, is he a savant? I mean, is he Rain Man out there with a headset?
No, because
I'm trying to... Listen, he was a good player and all, but there is... Like, Mike Vrabel, I'll just use him as an example, position coach helped out with the defense when his boy Fickell became the head coach.
Up the ladder pretty quickly here.
Really,
head
defensive coach, quarter with Romeo Crennel in the building.
Right.
So Romeo Crennel never left. It was Vrabel was the DC, but Romeo was there.
Vrabel was at Ohio State.
Yeah, that's my point. He started off, so now he's head coach. So he's a lot of experience.
Right.
And that dude's a savant. That dude's a freaking brainiac when it comes to defense and football. And I don't want to disrespect the great Gerard Mayo.
But you're about to.
Let's be serious here. This isn't happening.
So
I see it as, hey, listen, you call what you think you should call, okay? But when the road gets a little hairy, it starts raining and it starts snowing, I'm taking the wheel, right? No disrespect.
Or maybe he's got the upper level. He's got the upper hand where he can veto anything. Because, like you said, Gerard is not looking at personnel, down and distance, formation. You know, he's getting all this from his other coaches. Hey, Gerard, first and, second and seven, ball's on the 37.
What personnel do they have?
Yep. Personnel is coming in the game. Two tight ends, two wide receivers and a run. Whatever it is, so now this is all, hey, the play they just ran before that, we know they ran the dive. Hey, you know what they like to do? This is one of the plays that they, it's all percentages there. You get the game plan. Hey, second and seven, 38% of the time they like to run this play.
See, it's funny. See, I remember when Charlie left, that next year it was basically Josh and Dante, right? And Ivan. They had all these guys there. But we knew that Bill wasn't involved in the offense. He wasn't. He was Josh was there and Dante was, reliable assistant head coach. So there wasn't we knew Josh was calling the plays, but they still had a lot of assistant. But it wasn't like Bill was saying, no, check razor.
Right.
Well, I think that's what he would be doing with the defense.
Right, he'll be doing it. Because even when Romeo was running the defense early on, it was still a collaborative effort between Bill and Romeo. Even though Romeo called the plays, Bill might have been like, all right, let's blitz on this play, or let's run this specific defense. Or,
I know, but think about it. Romeo to Mangini to Matt Patricia, quality control guys,
were coached on the offense,
coached on the defense, position groups, finally, I mean.
But again, we learned last time.
He's not going to be the defense coordinator this year.
No.
I'm just like, I'm done no,
Bill
playing
is.
Make-believe.
No, Bill is.
Yeah.
Bill is, and they're going to wean him into it where he has a possibility of maybe next year moving up. And it all depends on suggestions and the things that he picks up from Belichick. But I don't know why this is such a big deal. Andy Reid calls the plays in Kansas City, does he not?
Yes.
No, that would be Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, that's right.
He did last year.
Yeah.
Andy Reid used to do it, but then Bieniemy took
so,
over.
So LaFleur, who's now in Green Bay, he's calling
Aaron
the
Aaron Rodgers is calling the plays.
Yes.
but you have a lot of guys right now that are calling their own plays on offense or in defense.
Something you could reveal.
Jay's in a car. Jay.
Hey, hello? Guys, enjoying the conversation. What's going on?
What's up, Jay?
You called us.
just thinking about legacy and Brady, and one of the things that's kind of a nightmare scenario for me is that, you know, they get to the point where egos become involved at the end of next season. Brady's playing at a high level, and everybody's saying, look, Brady needs Belichick more than Belichick needs Brady. And if Brady goes and McDaniels goes and the two of those guys tag team and he's got a coach that he knows he can play for and with, and and McDaniels is going to be on the short list just about every head coaching position that's going to be available next year.
I'm not sure he's going to be the short list of every thing.
That means McDaniels would be going to a real bad team because they would be firing whatever coach that is.
That's the problem. I was just going to say that because he does make more sense. That is makes more sense if you're Tom Brady, if it's a package deal with Josh McDaniels, because at least I'm familiar with the offense. But again, there are too many moving parts here. Tom Brady's going to be 43. So if I'm Josh McDaniels and I'm going to another team, it's probably, as you just said, not going to be a great team because they're changing. On top of that, I've got what? A 1-year window? A 2-year window? I'm Josh McDaniels. I got to take over this team without Tom Brady a year or 2 years from now.
Why does everybody think that, like, him and Vrabel, just because they were teammates, are instantly going to be able to work? Like, Vrabel runs his system, his organization, his team, the way he wants. Why do people think, oh, just because they were teammates, that this thing is instantly going to work? Tom doesn't know what type of coach Vrabel is.
That's it.
And, you know, so Vrabel.
You know where he would be better served going? It feels like it's a John Elway, Denver Bronco type situation, right? To me.
Yeah, but what team exists like that? Because let's say Tennessee takes a step back.
Right.
Now, you can blame Mariota. Maybe you blame him.
Right.
But let's say they take a step back and they're 7-9 this year.
And who's their offense coordinator?
Exactly.
The guy, Arthur Smith, was down there now?
Right. So are you going to feel confident if you're Tom Brady at age 43 that you're going to go pick up and leave and go to Tennessee? I'm not sure any of that makes sense. Is he pissed? Sure he's pissed. Is he probably bad-mouthing Belichick, Kraft, the Patriot? Probably. But does that necessarily mean people do this all the time? You get pissed at your bosses, pissed at your company. It doesn't happen here. Oh, maybe. So, and you get pissed, but eventually what? You have to
all butt heads, but they all know that
they need
together, they'll work.
I like that. Write that down, Christian.
Hold on.
Together,
they'll work.
They'll work.
And don't worry about what you can control unless you can control it. Right.
So this is two very powerful quotes for the day.
Philosophy and a Friday.
And the more you hang around, the more you believe.
I like that one.
Because think about this, right? If Brady was to leave, this is the biggest question, and you probably can answer it after the break. If Brady was to leave, whose legacy does it hurt more?
Ooh, I like this one.
Bill's, Tom's, or the Kraft's?
Ooh, Wiggy creates content. Coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Glenn, Lou, and Christian. On Sports Radio WEEI.
Actually speak louder than my words. Anything I ever say. So just know, I simply want to be the best. And if you want to simply be the best, you have to simply outwork your opponent. Who your opponent? Myself. AB versus AB. There's no weak craft.
AB versus AB. That's Antonio Brown. Now with the Oakland Raiders, though, his kids still think he's on the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're wondering where Roethlisberger is, if you saw
that was funny.
The first edition of Hard Knocks. This week might be very interesting. And Antonio Brown may not be seen in this week's version because apparently he's not around. Now, we've heard that he suffered a bizarre injury to his feet, but Michael Silva of NFL Network, he has a thread today of 20 tweets. One, two, three, numbers them all.
Is that a lot of tweets, Glenn?
What's that again?
Is that a lot of tweets?
20 would be an awful lot.
I feel like it's a lot.
I've lost constant. I tried to read through it. I got to number 11 here. What he's basically saying is that the Antonio Brown situation is really nothing to do with the feet. That Antonio Brown is pissed off at the Oakland Raiders because he's found out that he has to wear a new mandated helmet that the NFL is mandated to all of the players. Now, remember, guys were grandfathered, including Tom Brady and Antonio Brown. And last year, they could wear the old helmet. But because of safety issues and the fact that those old helmets have failed all of the laboratory safety tests, you, this year, must wear the new helmet. And for some reason, Antonio doesn't believe that it's mandated by the NFL, and he thinks that the Oakland Raiders are forcing him to do something to the point where they're sending a video out there of Aaron Rodgers, who was grandfathered, who now must wear the new helmet.
So I want to start at 10.
Oh, geez.
I'm going to start at 10. Look, here's what we're going to do. Wiggy, you have this in front of you?
Yes, I do.
You're going to go 10.
Okay, it's like we're doing a scene here.
Yeah.
A movie scene.
You got 11.
This is like Jeff Howe yesterday with 51 reasons why I should 11, watch the
okay, then I'm going to go 12 and 13, okay? Yeah, so go ahead, Wiggy.
Okay. All right, number 10. When he showed up for the first OTA, however, Brown requested his old helmet. After being told he'd have to wear an approved model, witnesses say the wide receiver loudly voiced his displeasure, complaining quarterbacks such as Brady and Rodgers were not being subjected to the same scrutiny.
If you're a little kid, wouldn't you like listening to Wiggy every night?
So
Wiggy's nighttime stories.
He's upset about this. Is great. So this leads up to the ending, which I love.
Number 11. Shortly thereafter, Brown stormed out of the facility in protest. Later that day, Raiders officials found video footage of Rodgers during the Packers OTA session wearing an approved model helmet and texted it to Brown.
So he runs out. He's all pissed off. They find video to prove to him that he's not being iced out.
I'm bringing high heat. Okay.
So the following day, Brown showed up at up in Alameda and acted like nothing had happened, accepting the new helmet from an equipment manager without protest and completing the workout. Hey, so everything's fine,
seems
right?
Like
you would think so. Here's number 13. This one's nuts. However, this guy's crazy. Sometime in the next couple of weeks, Brown once again tried to take the field with his old helmet, which he had since had repainted with colors approximating but not completely mimicking the Raiders silver and black design. So he literally tried to mock up his old helmet and paint it so it looked like the new league mandated helmet.
AB versus AB.
These are like the ones you buy in China.
Yeah, that's like when you're 10 years old. It's like a Rolex instead of a Rolex.
It's like trying to forge your parents' signature on a bad report card.
They go,
Wiggy, read 14.
Oh, I'm on 14.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. He was told the helmet was not allowed. And once again...
I'm sorry. It's insane.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know that word.
He acquiesced.
He acquiesced. Okay, he acquiesced.
You fit right in, Wiggy.
Yes, acquiesced. If you don't know what acquiesce means...
Ask Gasper.
He acquiesced and wore the new helmet. Why not just say he complained and wore the new helmet?
Thank you.
And wore the new helmet. Before Brown arrived at training camp last month, which was in a hot air balloon, coaches and teammates believed that the issue had been resolved.
But Brown, who practiced on his tender feet for only 2 days before leaving Napa to seek another opinion, tried yet again to sneak his old helmet onto the practice team. Ultimately, being told by team officials to remove it.
So the Raiders have no clue. They keep going in. Hey, he's still freaking out about it, one player said. He hasn't been here for a while, and no one knows where he's at. He just left. So when you look at Mike Tomlin, don't you kind of feel a little bit sorry for him now?
He can't do no more guarantees.
What did I say the other day?
I actually feel sorry for him.
After the first edition of Hard Knocks, I said to you,
it was boring.
They're going to win six games. I take it down to five now. Adam Schefter now reporting this, breaking news. Raiders wide receiver Antonio Brown has told team officials that unless he gets to wear his old helmet, he will not play football again, per league sources. He's done skiing.
Yeah, but why is he telling the Raiders to shouldn't he be taking it up with the NFL?
Because he hasn't figured it out, Wiggy. He's a dope.
And the helmet he...
The Raiders are trying to explain it to him, and this nitwit... He keeps on thinking the Raiders are trying to stick it to him. He wants to go back probably to the Steelers. Well, Steelers wouldn't do this to me.
Well, the helmet,
an idiot.
His old helmet, it looks like the old Air helmet. Remember the old Air helmet with the blue inside?
Had
the
little, heavy as hell.
Yeah, it was heavy as hell. But I understand that as players, it's very difficult. Like I feel like I wore my same helmet for about 5 years.
So did I.
Tough. And you know what, Wiggy? I remember the days you could drive a car and we didn't have to put a seatbelt on.
Well, but
and it was uncomfortable.
But guess what?
And guess what? You learned to deal with it.
Well, not really.
It's for safety issues.
You could still drive without a seatbelt on. If I still wanted to drive my car.
It's against the law right now.
When's the last time you've been pulled over for not wearing a seatbelt?
I haven't been pulled over.
Exactly. So you still can wear.
You'll get pulled over.
That's different, Glenn.
That's profiling.
It's not because I'm not wearing a seatbelt either. Now, the helmet, I understand where guys want to wear this there because they get so comfortable. They've been playing for so long. I mean, but the NFL now has these rules now that you have to wear these new helmets. But if he can't get comfortable in the new helmet, I can't believe he can't find the new helmet that he likes. That it's so uncomfortable that when he tries on these new ones, he's like, yeah,
you know,
I'm good.
I need the other thing is the face mask. You like the face mask. I had the same exact face mask since I was in high school up until the year I retired. But this is a little much. I mean, is he just dumb, entitled, or is this whole, like, it's all part of his image he's trying to create?
No, I don't think it is at all.
I don't think it is. Act.
I think, like anything
else. Please
tell
me it's fake.
You know, we were talking about this earlier about Brady and how different it is when you get up and leave after you've been with an organization for so long. He was with Pittsburgh for, 9 years, something like that. And you get up and leave. Now, Brady obviously might be able to handle a little bit better, but it's different. This is a guy that was set in his ways with one team for the longest time. Now he's getting up. He wanted to go. He wanted to find a new team.
Yeah, but he knows the rules, though.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, guys, don't tell me he doesn't, because nowadays I look at players, and every player now wears thigh pads and knee pads. When I played, I never wore them. We hardly ever wore thigh pads and knee pads. But there's the rule has been put in place. Yeah. I don't know how long it is.
It's like three years now.
But you have to wear it. So
he wants to defy the rules.
Yeah, but
here's another Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter tweet. Antonio Brown believes the new helmet that the rules mandate that he wears protrudes out and interferes with his vision as he tries to catch the football. The Raiders have been sending Brown other approved helmets, what you just said, Wiggy, to try out. But at this time, he is not interested in wearing any of them. If he can't wear his old helmet, he is Dunsky.
Well, he better call
up. The guy's Dunsky for the season.
he should call up Julian.
Thank you, Adam.
He should call up Julian Edelman, because Julian Edelman said the Vices helmet allows you to see more than any other helmet out there. So maybe he should call up Jules.
Why would they make a helmet and make it more challenging for the wide receiver?
Right.
They would make it safer and easier. They would try and give you more ways to see.
And I don't believe that, because if you look at his old helmet, and Christian will be able to tell you this, he has the old helmet with the bars on the side, right? Like right on the side of the helmet.
Is it the Eric Dickerson helmet or
face
mask?
And so that kind of gets in the way of your peripheral vision. You know, when I played, I liked the thing to be wide open. You know, you could put your whole hand in there. I want to be able to see everything.
What, do you want a kicker's face mask?
It was similar. It's
close. 1970s kicker.
Got a pretty big skull over here. He's got
Zendetta, whatever that dude's name was.
I tried out the Tony Gonzalez face mask for a minute, but that thing was
with the Zonka thing.
Hold on. The NFL players and the NFL Players Association can't have it both ways. You can't sit there and tell me that we have guys whose lives are getting ruined with all of the concussions they get out on the field. And when the league finally mandates and comes up with an idea with laboratory-tested stuff that we can save lives, we can save you guys, we can save your brains so that you can use them when you're 60 and 70 years old, and you got a stupid-ass player who's sitting there going, hey, I can't see the ball. That's all that matters. I got to see the ball. Sorry.
Yeah, but
you can't have it both ways. You can't sit there and bitch about safety and rules.
But it's not
the
helmet
to protect you.
It's not the helmet that doesn't allow you to see the ball. It's the face mask. You can easily change your face mask. That's what a...
Why can't he figure this out?
Listen, I did not think it would happen this fast. I didn't
either.
Who had a week?
Floating like a butterfly, getting ready to sting.
Who had a week?
I tell you what. Remember, I said Hard Knocks was boring last week. It might be pretty good.
What do you think it's gonna? He's coming back. Yeah. He's not gonna leave. He's coming back. He'll play. Derek Carr will throw him a pass. He'll drop it. Not only will he drop kick his helmet into the stadium, he will probably try and attack Derek Carr because somebody's got to be blamed for this,
right? How stupid can you be, though, that you're blaming it on the Oakland Raiders when they're sitting there trying to explain it to you? It's like you're a child. They're sitting there explaining to you, no, AP, no, it's an NFL rule. Let me show it to you.
Yeah, but you
Aaron Rodgers,
Aaron
Rodgers wore your helmet last year. Wait a minute. Let us show you video of Aaron Rodgers this year. And he's sitting there going, I don't care. It's you guys. You guys are screwed.
But do you really think he's you really think they're explaining it to him? Because you said you watched Hard Knocks, and what was one of John Gruden's biggest gripes? Oh man, New Daisy, they're checking on me here. You can't wear pads this. So he's probably telling.
Well, he's probably bitching too. Right, he's probably saying, like, "You're right, AB. You're right.
He should be able to.
We should go old school.
With a brain bucket.
Yeah, we should go old school when players played and they couldn't read when they were 52. They couldn't. Put two words together.
Hey, we used to have 2.5 hour padded practice in the morning, and then 2.5 hour padded practice in the afternoon. I miss those days, Antonio. You should be able to wear your helmet.
He's not going anywhere. He's got $30 million guaranteed. 3 years, $54 million, $30 million guaranteed.
And that's why he's acting this way.
Right. He's not. Why?
It's like the other guy that was on Hard Knocks, the safety.
Oh, Jonathan Abram.
Jonathan Abram, who was like, that guy's
gonna
cut me?
That guy's
first round pick.
That's what he basically said to
John. Like, I'll do what I want.
Could you imagine?
And then Gruden was like, damn it.
You want to go over your ass, man.
You can't cut me.
Okay. If you don't want to practice here, you can go on the other field and lift weights.
Could you imagine, like, Juwan Johnson or somebody going up to Bill Belichick?
John Gruden wishing he could just have an episode of Gruden Grinders.
Could you imagine that? One of these young kids coming to Belichick and saying that to Belichick.
No, but I could imagine them saying that to John Gruden 7 years ago when he was coaching. Now he's in a different world, man.
Yeah, he's 10 years, $100 million. That's what John Gruden is. I'm just laughing all the way to the bank.
You could go over there and work out on the other field. Like, dude just told you, what you gonna do? You can't cut.
All you said is go work out.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Right. So wait, I don't have to practice.
Wiggy is in the house today filling in for Lou. We're back to your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
Selling a little? Or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marconi, and Fourier on WEEI.
Now, it gets weirder in the sense that he has actually told the team that he will not play football again unless he gets to wear his old helmet. He had a two-hour hearing today with the league. We are expecting a decision from the arbitrator next week at some point. If the arbitrator rules in his favor, then everything is hunky-dory. If the arbitrator does not, well, then it gets very interesting because the Raiders have been sending Antonio Brown helmets over the last week to try on approved helmets. He doesn't like or want to wear any of them and has told them that. I'm not going to wear these new helmets. I want my old helmet.
That's Adam Schefter on the Will Cain Show on ESPN. I mean, the stuff that Michael Silver has out there is bizarre. It goes beyond the helmet. To me, you've got a guy who just doesn't get it. And by the way, he didn't get it with the Steelers. He's a terrific player. He's a phenomenal talent. But remember, he was benched for the season finale last year, a game that they had to win. And Silva's reporting here on top of that. Since joining the Raiders, Brown has frustrated his new bosses by showing up late to numerous meetings and by often appearing unfocused in them. According to witnesses, typically glancing at the screens of several tablets and his smartphone during meetings, distracting himself by engaging in activities which include perusing his bank accounts and liking photos on Instagram.
He's like
the player who he's kind of there, right? He's like the, you know, Ty used to be like this a little bit, like, oh, why do I need to know the defense when I'm just going to cover this guy? Where Antonio Brown's like, do I really need to be in here? Just call the route, I'll run it, and either throw me the ball or not. And I think what you're seeing with him is that is like who he is as a player. The guy works his ass off in practice from what you see.
That's what they say.
He works his tail off, and it's like, dude, just throw me the ball. That's it. Call the play.
Yeah, no, I
he thinks that's
it,
all that's to the game, though. The fact that being on a team.
This actually went to an arbiter?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, well, he filed a grievance.
That's my point. He filed a grievance.
Yes. Yeah. Which he'll win.
You think he'll win it?
I think he'll win.
I'm not sure he will.
Unless
how? He's going to have to sign off his any sort of
post-career. Yes,
they won't let him do it.
He'll have to sign off. Unless there's a rule, like, see, and I don't think there's a rule in there in the CBA that says that you have to wear the new helmets, right? I think this is something that's like really, really new. So until they change the new CBA, I think he'll win this case because they'll just say, hey, listen, he's still grandfathered in. And
no, but he's not, though. The rule was established a while ago, and they gave everybody a warning. Said, listen, okay, we're changing the helmets. So even Brady started trying on new helmets.
Right.
He still wore the old one.
But they gave him an extra year. The old guy's got an extra year.
They got an extra year. Okay, but that ended. So he's had plenty of time to readjust. But it's too much of a liability for the league.
That's the problem.
To say, okay.
But he'll sign off on something.
Hey, I don't even think they'll let him do that because we care about head trauma, CTE, and we're going to make an exception because this guy's holding his breath.
Because he feels the helmet's uncomfortable.
I feel like they will never do it. And then the NFLPA, the Players Association, will somehow be like, dude, will you shut up?
You have to.
We're fighting for your rights and this and that.
And your safety.
And safety.
Right.
And you're completely contradicting everything.
I'd like to know what the old rule or the rule that's in place now for the old helmets, what does it say? Like you have 1 year and then everybody has to transition to these new helmets?
No, everybody had to transition a year ago.
Okay.
Well, but the older players got an extra year. So Tom Brady got an extra year. If you remember, he actually tried the new helmet during the game. Didn't like it. Went back to the old one. He has no choice now.
Yeah, right.
He
okay.
must wear it. But I think Christian is right that if he wins this grievance, if Antonio Brown does, then all of the other players that want to go back to the old helmet
can go back to
him. But what does that do
to
this whole thing that the Players Association are fighting for? What about the players? What about their safety?
How much is the current Players Association fighting for the concussions with players?
Well, they don't practice.
Well, no.
That's how they're fighting for it. Hey, you know what? We're all about safety. So not only are we going to...
We don't have two-a-days. We don't have pad days.
We're going to change the helmets. They want us to wear pads on our knees and our thighs and stuff like that. So I would say it's the same thing. So they have the uniform code.
Right.
So they say you got to pull your socks up. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't wear anything outside. You got to wear special shoes. That has to be approved by the league. It'd be like some guy trying to wear his own brand of tennis shoes.
Well, they'll just fine him.
But eventually they would. Well, I guess they would.
Yeah, they would just keep.
How would that work?
It's like wearing baller shoes.
Well, no,
and then a guy says, hold on, okay, that's fine. So the guy said, all right, I'm not playing until you let me wear my Wiggy Tens.
Right.
Okay.
The big baller.
Been around 10 years.
Those are pretty cool.
Okay, they're fresh. Okay, I'm on my Wiggy Tens.
We should get more.
So sure enough, I said, you know, because my feet are comfortable and I don't want to get blisters. These are the only shoes I'm going to wear. But you say I can't wear them anymore. You also say I can't spat.
Right.
So I can't cover up any. So I can't just wear them and cover up the symbol.
Right.
So I'm going to go. I'm going to file a grievance.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the NFL would do? Oh yeah. You know what? We're going to make an exception for you.
Right.
Can't. And by the way, Christian, the Players Association fought for these safety guidelines,
right,
including the helmet. They agreed with the NFL. This was agreed upon together with the NFL. This is what we're going to do, and our players will do it. And he's going against them. Let's try to take a few phone calls on this subject.
We've been talking way too much.
Dennis in a car. Go ahead, Dennis.
Get to the phones.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Dennis.
So I'm thinking kind of on the lines you guys just talked about, having him sign a disclaimer so when he's 50 years old with CTE and struggling, he can't sue anybody.
There you go. But,
you know, as I was listening to, you guys talk, with the behaviors he's showing and the decisions he's making, maybe the helmet he's using now isn't working.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe it's squeezing his head
too tight. Yeah, it's already affecting
it's squeezing all the sense out of him.
See, you could say that. If he's one individual, you could say, okay, you know, if your brain turns into mush here in 15 years, you've got no recourse. You can't come back at us. You got to sign off on this. But it's bad precedent, isn't it?
Yeah, it would be. You would think that because of all these rules that they implement now, especially the equipment, right, because that's what we're talking about, you would think that he knows that, right? And I believe he does, but he's just too stubborn to say, I don't want to change it for whatever reason, and now he's going to try to fight it and do. It's going to be interesting to see with the arbiter and if he's able to actually, you know, where he's able to go with this.
But you know what it is, Wiggy? It's him. This is what he was like in Pittsburgh. This is what Mike Tomlin. This is what those other players had to deal with.
Yeah, but
he's always been like this.
I think more of an issue with him, like just like chilling and sleeping in meetings and checking his bank account, than the helmet that he wants to wear. I mean, you know, that I think that's more glaring of who he is, his character of a player.
So you don't think if you asked the Pittsburgh Steelers players whether he was doing the same in meetings?
I bet he was.
Guarantee he was doing it before.
Yeah, I bet he was.
He's not suddenly just doing it now. It's his daily routine.
But then again, me as a player, I would kind of be hypocritical because I would say as long as he's doing what he needs to do on the field and making plays for us, I guess that's the only
But that's the only reason he's with the team right now. Because if he were a sucky player,
he
wouldn't be with a team right now. Dino's in Jersey here in the EI. Dino.
Hey, guys, what's up? Hey, so the two NFL guys, this is what I don't understand, right? If Brady takes more, the team wins less, right? If you go out and pay big-ticket wide receivers, somewhere down the line, the team can't fill certain holes or will have less talent. A lot of guys say next man up, but the Patriots actually live by the next man up mentality because they have the depth. The only thing about Brady's contract I don't understand is he's earned it, but the Patriots are right as well because this is uncharted territory. Nobody knows it, you know, but I would have done a two with an option for a third. What do you think?
I've always said that the team could pay him more and they would still win. I'm not into the whole I don't buy this whole notion that if they went out and got him a, you know, top receiver like financially that they wouldn't be able to win. I still think they would win Super Bowls. I mean,
what if the guy got hurt?
But that's anything though.
What if the guy they're paying $14 million a year at receiver gets hurt?
I mean, but okay.
For every 14 years,
what if aliens invade the United States? It's all on the table, depending on what
they
look like. Right?
That'd be cool.
Well, Gronk got hurt.
Might help society.
Julian Edelman got hurt, and they lost the Super Bowl.
And Gronk got hurt, and they won a Super Bowl without him.
And they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but it wasn't depth from the backup tight end. I mean, that's where I think people are like missing the point.
What do you mean?
Like when Gronk got hurt, it was the reason they won a Super Bowl. It wasn't because Gronk's backup.
But they had Bennett, which they were able to get Bennett on a reasonable deal.
Yeah, but you could still have, and I think Gronk was one of the highest paid players at his position when he got hurt. So you could still have a guy that makes a lot of money and still have some depth. It's not like you're going to instantly lose out and have no depth.
Well, they've had depth because Brady and others have taken less money. It's worked for them over the years.
And I'm not saying it hasn't worked, but I'm also saying that when Brady has taken some of these, team friendly deals, they haven't necessarily went out there and said use that money to say we are going to put really good guys around.
No, you're right. They haven't gone out and gotten an Antonio Brown or somebody like that he can throw to because Tom Brady is not making the personnel decisions. Belichick is. So Belichick's looking the total payroll.
Mm-hmm.
We saved this money with Brady. Right. Now I'm going to get a corner here. I'm going to get, we need a middle linebacker here. We need depth on the special teams here. He's looking at it differently. I can't argue about it, Wiggy, because for 20 years, they have won more Super Bowls than any other team and more games. And the reason they've won is because when players get injured and you lose your top talent, if you don't have guys to back them up, you start losing football games. This team doesn't. They have backups at virtually every position. And so they continue to win even when top players get injured, when Gronk gets injured, when Edelman gets injured. They still win. But How do they do that?
I still think that they could still win, and they would have won more if they would have had maybe that top player or two.
Well, more would be a real stretch considering their – could they have won less if they did that? So they get the Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. Then Antonio Brown goes down with an injury, or guess what? He doesn't like the fit of his helmet, and he tells Bill Belichick, take the helmet and shove it up your ass.
Yeah, well,
and then so what happens
that
then?
One fly
now in. You don't have Antonio Brown, and you don't have any of those backup guys. I know it's a stretch. Wiggy is in the house, filling in for Lou today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.